So welcome, Janine and Jonathan, to Christie Walk, where I live on unceded Kaurna land. But you want to start off with what you do, the things that you do, and introduce yourselves.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Sue, for inviting us. We're retirees, but we're fortunate to be in good health. And I guess we've always had some either involvement and interest in the Indigenous people of Australia ever since we first got married. Early in our lives, we worked on a Aboriginal mission in the Kimberleys, which was transitioning from being a church-run mission to being self-determining, self-managed. That was back in the early 70s. In other times during the year, in different places. I'm a United Church minister, so we've moved around all over Australia.
Okay.
Not always doing what you'd call minister things exactly, but, you know.
Are they defined minister things?
That's right. And so wherever we've been, we somehow connected with what's been going on. So in Sydney for a while, we were associated with the reconciliation movement that was there. And one of the first things I was involved in was the first Sorry Day ceremony in Sydney, and worked with the local Indigenous people who were there on that. And then we also, in more recent times, lived in Darwin. I taught at Noongalinya College, which is for Indigenous people from all over Australia, but has a very strong link with Arnhem Land, the Territory, and other parts of the Territory. And Janine, you taught at
Jingalee School, yes.
Jingalee School, and
which also had Indigenous children present. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I guess when we attended in early 2000 a workshop run by Reconciliation South Australia, which was led by Thomas Mayer and Tila Reid, about the Uluru Statement from the Heart, that was new for us. We were very taken with that event, and they challenged us to be allies, supporters, for advocating for the voice. And that's where we got the idea that perhaps focusing on a particular, in this case, local government area of Unley, would be a good grassroots way of getting people together who would be those allies. So that's, you know, that's sort of what inspired us to get started.
And specifically, what inspired us at that first event was Thomas Mayer stood up and recited, not read, recited the statement. And to say that there was not a dry eye in the house is exact description of what happened. But I think that the strong message, it was a training event. It was actually organised by a union organisation. The strong emphasis was on, we've told you the situation, you've heard the statement, and now you go and do what you can do in the community. Don't wait for us to tell you what to do. You go and do what you can do and what you know needs to happen. Mm. And that was a most releasing thing. It was not as if we will wait for messages to come down from heaven or via the organiser. Not at all. It was, you've been invited, as the statement does. It invites us to walk together and work together for this very necessary change in how we live as Australians.
Mm. It was interesting that, you know, we always know that one has to be careful advocating for Indigenous people, that you're in a good, you have a proper relationship with them. But Thomas said, look, you don't have to have Indigenous people involved in your group to do this. It's going to be the non-Indigenous population, 97% of it, that's going to be voting for this. Work with them. By all means, if you connect with local Kaurna people, for example, or any other Indigenous people in LA, by means, certainly walk with them, but you don't have to have them. And he said, and by the way, most of our leaders, you might say, said they're overtaxed. They've got lots of burdens of things to do. Mm. You know, we gave the review commission to go ahead and get on with it. Now, luckily, we have at times been able to have the close support of Indigenous people, but that was sort of, I thought, the rather, as Jenny said, a kind of a releasing movement, just get through and do it.
And we did consult with the leadership of the Kaurna people and say that we want to be doing this, and they said, sounds good to me. And so we were released to go ahead and do it.
Mm. And so, now you've been involved since then?
Yes, so it's almost 3 years now.
Yes, well, we were put in touch with another woman, Joan, who lived in Unley, and we met with her, and then we said, oh, let's gather all the people we know around here who might be interested, which we did. So we had a kind of, we called it an initiating group to begin with.
Which was a very small group.
Small group, but, you know, people showed their interest, and interest varied a little bit, but they clearly were people who, right from the start, would say, oh no, this is something we have
they
to support.
They had a heart for it.
That's right. And so in early 2021, we had a public event. Luckily, COVID didn't stop us. There were some restrictions on, we had to find a place where we could at least get 80 people, and we found such a place. And so we had a launch, and we got about 80 people turn up. And so that was in early 2021. Mm. And out of that, we set up an ongoing group that's met monthly ever since then, right up to now. Yeah.
So, do you think that you may have been the first group?
Yes, I think so. Because part of setting up for this public meeting, we were in touch with the organisers from Sydney and from Perth, and because of having to have discussions with them, and they kept saying, this is a brilliant idea. That's what we need, is local communities to pick this up. Because I think they were already beginning to feel the burden of, you know, if everybody wants to consult with us, we're going to get worn out. Mm. And the life of Indigenous people is one of being on demand. Mm. In many ways.
It's true, Janine, isn't it, that the person you spoke to sent for our launch Nolan Hunter, who'd been...
As a speaker.
Who'd been in charge of the Kimberley Land Council. He came and he gave... He wasn't the only one, but he was the main speaker on the day at our launch. They sent him at no cost to us, which was good. But then we didn't have any...
anyway, we would have found the money, but we didn't have it.
No, and he, together with Frank Wanganeen from Adelaide, who represented the Kaurna and did the welcome, and Tali and Daris, who worked with Covenanting, which got a Uniting Church link, they were just marvellous in being kind of the forum for the launch. Yeah.
And I think we learned something that day, because something went wrong, we had to show a slide. That's not the right word, is it? A video. And it was a video of the history of Indigenous Australians staking their claim right back in 1938 and onwards. And so it was a review of the history. And a lot of the people in the room were of our age. And so it was like reminding us all of, you've been asked before and asked and asked, and the answer has been no or indifference. Mm-hmm. This can't go on. And everybody in the audience was really having trouble controlling themselves, because it's very painful to have that reviewed for you. But it opened everybody up. Mm. And we were first of all confronted by everybody being completely silenced. Mm. We might as well have been at a funeral. It was that same kind of impact, like, I don't know what to say. Mm. And then we had refreshments, and then you couldn't stop people talking. Mm. It is a very emotional.
It's a wonderful moment in time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's one that you never forget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's scary because of
its scary
emotional impact. Because either we might take a great leap forward, that sounds Chinese, doesn't it? Or we sink into the hate-filled relationships that we've had.
The apathy is appalling.
Mm.
It's based on ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we discovered that day, is that people need to be told the story of the past.
Mm.
Because almost inevitably people say, why didn't I know about this? And I personally feel like, yes, that's a good question. Why don't you know about it? But we don't. We've been had our eyes closed and our ears stopped so that we don't have to pay attention.
And never
to
questioned
this.
Them.
Yeah.
No.
Mm, that's right. And in fact, on that point, one of the things our group did right from the beginning was to do presentations for community groups. And a couple of people in our group, Brian and Janet Jenkins, for example, they led a little task group to organise these presentations. We did, for example, in Unley, you've got four community centres. And we went to all of those community centres 1 year, and then we did most of them again this year. And so people would be invited to come and learn about the voice. And while some of them only has small numbers, even the ones with small numbers, we connected with people who had other connections.
Mm.
That so you had this kind of multiplier effect of people kind of getting the word or then taking interest. And so our group might have started off with a dozen people. Well, now, you know, we would have, in our meeting room, we've almost burst the seams in recent time with people who've got on board to do this kind of, particularly to get involved in the present time, to do door knocking and letterboxing and being prepared.
Did you notice that people were more at ease the second time round when you met with them? Were they more open?
Some people, the responses were the same that we'd experienced before, like, my goodness, I didn't know about this. But for others, it was, I've got to get clear about this so I can speak to people.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that new dimension of people who saw themselves wanting to be equipped.
Mm-hmm.
So that the aha moment.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think most of the people who came tended to be people who would become supportive, and that's why they came. But there were other people who came, and they clearly, their heart wasn't in the place, I'm going to support this, and they would ask sometimes, you know, difficult questions. And one at a very first meeting, I always remember one gentleman saying, well, this is all very well, but why should they have a special voice? I don't think my voice is being heard. So clearly for him the democratic system wasn't enough. It's a bit like you giving them something special that I don't have. Now, we have ways to sort of respond to that, but you could tell that that kind of question did arise again. We noticed that's an underlying concern that has led some people to say no. But what that means is they've not been able to appreciate the difference that Indigenous people represent. I think we still have a strong assimilationist assumption running through our society, and I think it has re-emerged. While assimilation is no longer public policy, nevertheless, the idea of assimilation is still there. And I think that explains why there was such an overwhelming yes vote in 1967, because it's a bit like saying, yes, they can become part of us.
Mm.
But now, what's being asked for, we want you to recognise who we are as people who are different, and for our culture, for who we are, and for the needs that we have. And I think some Australians are finding that hard to do.
Even very liberal-minded Australians.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And there's some that are actively opposed, that there's some ghastly sentiments going around.
Yeah.
They're not recognising they were here first, yeah. And not recognising that every other country has done it. They're not recognising any of that.
Exactly.
It's just a very, it's me, me, me.
And it's hard to address because you don't know what kind of suffering, personal suffering, they're alluding to.
Exactly.
And it's not our business to rank that up either.
Mm.
But to not be able to acknowledge what is out there in public knowledge about the suffering of Indigenous people, it's puzzling.
Mm. Mm. And I find it alarming. I think it was Megan Davis who said, not every no voter is a racist, but every racist is a no voter.
That's right. Mm. That's right. Yes, in fact, Henry Reynolds quoted that when he gave a talk earlier in the year in the Bonython Hall.
Mm.
I
actually find quite offensive people saying that the Constitution is the birth certificate of the nation. And Guy and Mars says that all the time, and Henry Reynolds said it too in that talk. Quite a few people say it, and I think, how can it be the birth certificate of a nation?
Well, it's
deeply flawed if it is.
Yeah, that people were born here before that.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Apparently.
Yes. It is standing where we stand. It's perplexing that people can actually continue to articulate.
So,
but I think sometimes it's because they feel obliged to try and make us feel comfortable.
Mm. This is probably not the place and time to elaborate on this, but I mean, one could also critique the actual constitution that we do have, it's really a very minimalist constitution and has nothing of the lofty sentiments, say, of the United States constitution. You know, all men or people are born equal.
Yeah,
you know,
that would be a good start.
And have the right to pursue
happiness,
for example. I mean, that's a maybe, you know, somewhat utopian, but it's a lofty statement. There's nothing like that in the Australian constitution. It's very administrative.
And very English.
Yeah.
Australia's the only Commonwealth country that hasn't recognised its first people. In fact, it's probably there's very few colonised countries.
Yes.
That haven't recognised
the
first people. And this is something that I've heard some young First Nations people talking about, is that we have an obligation to do this because we've signed the Indigenous Rights Treaty.
Yes,
exactly.
We have an obligation. And young people are saying, why are we having something where they, meaning us, can vote on whether we're legitimate? We were legitimately
it is
the
nation.
Yes,
it's offensive. And I get that 100%.
Yes.
I think another thing, going back to Henry Reynolds, he did point out that day that he said, you know, the world, particularly the Pacific, is watching Australia.
Yes.
The Pacific Islanders, for example, they regard us as they're the indigenous people of their nation, and we will be judged by the outcome of this.
Of
course, we are still hoping that while things don't look that promising in terms of polling, that nevertheless we're still holding on to the hope that we'll still get it over the line. I think it's already begun to turn around in the last 2 or 3 days. It's just a significant shift in terms, and still a large percentage of people, I think I heard this morning, something like 28% of people have not yet decided which way to vote.
We also heard, I don't remember the percentage, but the number of people who quite literally decide as they approach the polling station.
Mm.
So this is we're a long way out as far as those people are concerned.
So we're encouraging most of our only Uluru statement from the heart support people to be present on
the
day of polling
and
do whatever we can to support the S23 campaign that are organising our presence at the polling booths. Yeah.
Do you think that what you've done so far has made a difference in Unley?
Well, we don't know for sure, but we like to think it has.
Yeah.
I think we've used this phrase, Janine, haven't we? We're hoping that we can tip the balance towards a yes in Unley. And only, I mean, the socio-economic texture of Unley, it's got some of the wealthier suburbs in the whole of Australia. And we've noticed, just through some of the door knocking we've done, we weren't naming suburbs. People definitely are wealthy, but they tend to be more conservative in their politics, for example, and seem to have a good...
And dogmatic.
Good. And it's interesting that in the better, let's call them the wealthier suburbs, that people mostly have already made their minds up. But those who have been door knocking in other parts of the only suburbs, Goodwood, Parkside, for example, have found that no, people aren't dogmatically yes or no. They're still making up their mind to some extent, and a little bit more open to discussion about, you know, how they might vote. So we hope our aim, I think, is to tick that balance in our municipality for the yes vote. Many people are walking, doing in the streets where they already know, you know, people in that area. You know,
Well, I guess all we can really do now is, well, what you're doing, but also get this message out as far as we can.
That's right. And I think it's a healthy assumption to start with that South Australians, should expect that they could be open-minded, liberal and kind. Social change in the past has happened more easily in South Australia than elsewhere.
Mm.
And if that was the case, let us hope that's still the case.
Yeah.
And that the assumption would be that, of course, South Australians know how to be generous.
Mm. And it's all about equity.
Yeah,
and it's such a simple thing.
It's such a simple thing. Yeah. It will have no impact on us.
And
personally.
Yes, that's right. And, I mean, it's just asking for access, for a voice to be heard. It's an advisory voice. We do think that it would lead to things happening to do with closing the gap, for example. That's all it is. Mm. And the no campaign, sort of misinformation, scare campaign, the idea that it's going to divide the nation is just so off. It's just, it's almost criminal. At least that's my view. Mm. Yeah.
Well, do you have anything else that you want to add?
I think I would like people to consider just how crucial this is. Mm. That either we have a bright future, or we have a future. I don't think we can even imagine it yet, because anything that's unstated or understated about race relations now will not be subtle from here on in.
Mm.
We will have to deal with the way people actually think and act in a way that we never have before.
Mm.
And that may not be easy. I'm sure it won't be easy.
Mm.
It'll be plain nasty.
Mm.
And it'll be based on negativity.
Mm.
That
and lies.
Negativity will win if the no vote gets through.
And I think it's clear and obvious to say that to vote no is to propose nothing about the future.
Mm. In fact,
now, you could quibble about what is described as the future just in the offing with yes.
Mm.
But there is something on offer.
Mm.
And with no, it just is like a slap in the face. It's just an action of no.
Mm.
Nothing is on offer.
Can I sort of suggest as a way of finishing, Sue, that what we've been trying to get people to do is to read the statement from the heart. So our little flyer here has included an easier to read version of the Statement of the Heart, and I just want to read this one, as I think is the way of perhaps including our little discussion. We seek constitutional reforms to empower our people to take a rightful place in our own country. When we have power over our destiny, our children will flourish. They will walk in two worlds, and their culture will be a gift to their country.